Welcome to In Focus. I'm Anthony Moreno. Today we hear how the possible repeal and replacement of the Affordable Care Act may impact New Mexico. Joining us in studio is Renee Dupre, research fellow with the Burrell College of Osteopathic Medicine. Renee, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Now I'd like to start off in talking about how, through your research, have you discovered how New Mexicans may be impacted by the possible repeal of the Affordable Care Act?
Well, in one word, the impact will be devastating on New Mexico and New Mexicans. We have one of the largest populations of Medicaid in the entire United States. Literally half of our population's on Medicaid. We have 270,000 New Mexicans who've been helped by the Medicaid expansion under the Act. Those people stand to lose coverage immediately. That's just for a start. We're also looking, and I want to emphasize that the impact of this is going to go across income brackets, that people with employer-sponsored coverage, with people with private insurance, are also going to be losing coverage and receiving less coverage for more money.
Now, Medicaid is such an important thing here for many New Mexicans. You mentioned half of the people in the state maybe on Medicaid right now. Mm-hmm. And also, speaking of the state, I mean, what is the state doing in regards to Medicaid right now that you know of?
Well, the state right now is trying to figure out how they can continue to afford to pay for Medicaid. And one of the things that they have done is they have put together a proposal to the federal Department of Health and Human Services about how they're going to move forward. And within that proposal, they're suggesting that people will start having to put in a copay, even for very, very low income people. They're looking at making people recertify far more frequently, either every quarter or every 6 months. They're eliminating a program that's designed for single parents who might, that gives them like 4 months of grace if they start receiving some child custody payments. So though there are four or five big things that are gonna have a big impact, and mostly the net impact is gonna be that people who are eligible for the program are no longer going to be receiving those cares because they're just gonna drop off the rolls. They're gonna make it so hard to be on Medicaid. And the benefits, the other proposal that's out there right now is that our secretary would have a lot of leeway in terms of just determining what benefits are there and what benefits aren't with Medicaid. And so we'd be looking at losing a lot of benefits.
Wow. The healthcare debate has went from the House to now the Senate. As far as things are going right now with that, what are some changes that you think may happen with the proposed health care bill in the Senate that came out of the House? I mean, how is it possibly looking to change? What are some things that you're reading from it, from the research that you've been doing and, you know, keeping up with it?
That's a hard question to answer because most of this has been done behind closed doors. What we know has come out mostly by leaks. We've got a few things that we do know, that they are putting what I could call window dressing on some of the more onerous aspects of the House bill.
Give me an example of window dressing of these aspects that you're talking about.
For instance, they are now saying that, well, maybe they're going to stretch out the period under which the Medicaid changes are going to happen. The big change, and this is an important change in Medicaid that they're proposing that we move from our current really flexible, responsive system in which the federal government kind of steps in to help states when the economy's not doing so well. And so there's no cap on how much the federal government can pay. Remember, Medicaid is a federal-state partnership program. And so right now we've had this real kind of dynamic teeter-totter sort of relationship. What they want to move to is a capped system in which each state, based on how many people were on Medicaid the year before, would get a certain amount of money for the following year. And that money is looking at substantially less. We're looking at an $834 billion decrease in the national Medicaid budget.
Now, how can that impact a state like New Mexico that's already struggling right now with a budget crisis?
It'll be devastating. We're looking at $467 million a year that New Mexico is going to have to come up with out of its own coffers. We're not going to be getting that federal funding over between now and 2026. We're looking at $11.8 billion that won't be coming into New Mexico. And we've got to figure out how we're going to do it. You know, there's just no way. We're already struggling with like a $100 million deficit.
One of the popular parts of the Affordable Care Act was the protection of pre-existing conditions. Are there any signs that that protection may be loosened some or perhaps taken out with the proposed bill by the Republicans in Congress right now?
And that bill is the American Health Care Act. Mm-hmm. And so under the American Health Care Act, states would have the leeway to sign up for a waiver. Not only of the leeway, but they also get a little bit of a push because they get more money if they sign up for a waiver. Under that waiver, all of the protections of the ACA would basically be repealed. So states would have complete latitude in terms of what they chose to do. And most states, because of the financial pressure, would end up having to put all that money into high-risk pools. And with that, they're going to be really eliminating those protections for the pre-existing conditions. Now, one of the proposals that I just heard kind of leaked out right now from the Senate version is that if you had a pre-existing condition, you might have to pay more, you could still purchase insurance, but you would not be able to be covered for that particular ailment. So say you had cancer 10 years ago and you were doing fine and you went and you bought coverage. If that cancer came back, you'd be covered for your primary care and your other visits. You wouldn't broke your arm, but you wouldn't be covered for the cancer treatment. Now that's one of the proposals that I've heard has come out in the Senate version.
One of the other things that I was a little curious about was how may people dealing with mental health or perhaps substance abuse be impacted if the ACA is repealed and replaced?
That's a really good question. New Mexico has a big problem with substance abuse. We know that under the ACA, at least 403,000 New Mexicans were able to receive additional mental health and substance abuse benefits. They got more care for those problems through the ACA. All of that would be repealed. That would go away. And you know, we're in the middle of an opioid overdose crisis in our nation, and New Mexico ranks 7th in the nation in opioid deaths. It could be really, really bad for us.
Are there any other possible programs that were expanded under the ACA that was, seemed to have great success that may be in jeopardy now if the Affordable Care Act should be repealed?
Well, the first one that comes to mind, and this is Section 101 of the ACA, the Prevention and Public Health Act. That pays for our prevention funding, including half of our money for vaccines for children, including 100% of our money that we're using to do chronic disease management for things like diabetes and heart disease, to help educate people and get people access to better foods. And so all of that prevention money that we've been really investing in under the ACA would be going away. It also eliminates a program that we've had in our hospitals, which is a program focused on reducing hospital-acquired infections. And we know right now that we're having trouble using our antibiotics. We're getting more and more antibiotic resistance. That program was designed to stem that, and that program would also go away. That's also our emergency public health funding. So with public health, we're a big part of any sort of emergency response to a threat like the Ebola virus or Zika or even measles. Any disease that's spreading quickly, we wouldn't have the money for that anymore. We would not be able to respond to that from the public health perspective.
Wow. Well, Renee, I want to thank you so much for being here and thank you for sharing the information about the research that you've done on this. And we'll stay updated on this as we watch how things unfold. And thank you so much for giving your time.
Thanks so much for having me.
We want to thank you for joining us for In Focus. I'm Anthony Morneau.